Sean Wallace paused at the bottom of the ramp to the third floor, his brow crinkling. "Now there's the thing. I don't think there were, or at least I never came across one."
"Different afterworld, perhaps," Kelly said.
"If they have one. They seem heathen creatures to me. Perhaps the good Lord didn't see fit to give them souls.
But they have a god, their own god."
"Do they now?"
"Well, they're hardly likely to have Jesus or Allah, are they? Not human messiahs."
"Ah, you're a smart one, Miss Kelly. I take my hat off to you. I'd never have thought of that in a million years. It's a question of environment and upbringing. I'm used to thinking in these terms. I'd be lost in your century."
"Oh, I can't see that. Not at all."
There were more vassal-caste bodies on the third floor. The two breeders were together on the fourth. "Do they have love, these beasties?" Sean Wallace asked, looking down at them. "They look like they do to me. Dying together is romantic, I think. Like Romeo and Juliet." Kelly ran her tongue round her cheeks. "You didn't strike me as the Shakespeare type." "Now don't you go writing me off so quickly, you with your classy education. I'm a man of hidden depths, I am, Miss Kelly." "Did you ever meet anyone famous in the beyond?" Pat asked.
"Meeting?" He wrung his hands together with fulsome drama. "You're talking about the beyond as if it's some kind of social gathering. Lords and ladies spending the evening together over fine wine and a game of bridge. It's not like that, Mr. Hallahan, not at all."
"But did you?" the mercenary scout persisted. "You were there for centuries. There must have been someone important."
"Ah, no, there was that, as I recall. A gentleman by the name of Custer."
Pat's neural mnemonics ran a fast check.
"An American army general. He lost a fight with the Sioux Indians in the 19th century."
"Aye, that's the one. Don't be telling me you've heard of him in this day and age."
"He's in our history courses. How did he feel about it, losing like that?"
Sean Wallace's expression cooled.
"He didn't feel anything about it, Mr. Hallahan. He was like all of us, crying without tears to shed. You're equating death with sanity, Mr. Hallahan, which is a stupid thing to do, if you don't mind me saying. You've heard of Hitler now, surely, if you've heard of poor damn George Armstrong Custer."
"We remember Hitler, though he was after your time, I think."
"Indeed he was. But do you think he changed after he died, Mr. Hallahan? Do you think he lost his conviction or his righteousness? Do you think death causes you to look back on life and makes you realize what an ass you've been?"
"Oh, no, not that, Mr. Hallahan. You're too busy screaming, you're too busy cursing, you're too busy coveting your neighbor's memory for the bitter dregs of taste and color it gives you. Death does not bestow wisdom, Mr. Hallahan. It does not make you humble before the Lord. More's the pity."
"Hitler," Kelly said entranced.
"Stalin, Genghis Khan, Jack the Ripper, Helmut Nike, the butchers and the warlords. Are they all there, waiting in the beyond?"
Sean Wallace gazed up at the domed ceiling, partially lost amid a tapestry of shadows thrown by sparse alien architecture. For a moment his features portraying every year of his true age.
"Aye, they're all there, Miss Kelly, every one of the monsters the good earth ever spawned. All of them aching to come back, waiting for their moment to be granted. Us possessed, we might be wanting to hide from the open sky and death. But it's not paradise we're going to be making down here on this planet. It couldn't be. There'll be humans in it, you see."
It wasn't true daybreak, not yet. The sun was still half an hour from bringing any hint of grizzled light to the eastern horizon, but the rain clouds had blown over and night had sapped the wind's brawn. The northern sky glowed with a grievous fervor, blemishing the savanna grass a murky crimson. Upton watched the dark speck moving along the side of the river, heading upstream towards the Tarascan Tower House. Heavy moist air stroked the eagle's feathers as he dipped a wing, curving down in a giddy, voluted dive. Pat Hallahan gazed out at the lonely nocturnal wanderer through his affinity-bonded friend's narrow, peerless eyes. Kelly came awake at the touch of a hand on her shoulder, and the sound of feet rapping on the hard, dry floor of the second story, where the team had rested up for the night. Neural mnemonics accelerated her fatigue-soaked brain into full alertness. The last of the combat-boosted mercenaries were disappearing down the ramp.
"Someone coming," Sean Wallace said.